identified a Mrs. Amy Frost as his as the person to be responsible with the disposition of his remains. Specialist Fox came from a unique circumstance. His mother had passed away before our deployments. His father, his biological father, had never really been a part of his life, and his stepfather and stepbrother had kicked him out of their home at 17. Amy Frost was his one of his high school English teachers, and she saw potential in Fox, in Chris Fox, and took him into her home as a son. Seeing as he was so close to 18, she never legally adopted Christopher Fox. Before he deployed and before I deployed, we all filled out these DD-93s, and he specified Amy Frost as the person to be responsible as his mother figure with the disposition of his remains. When he was killed in action in Baghdad, the Department of Defense was unable to obligate, or was unable to follow through on that form, because she was legally not allowed to be the person designated. They awarded custody of Christopher Fox to his stepfather and stepbrother, the same people that had kicked him out of their home at 17 years old. And in my own personal opinion, they were less than desirable. Amy Frost had wanted Chris to be buried in a veteran cemetery, where no matter who walked through, strangers, family members, service members, they would know that he had served honorably and was an American hero. If it hadn't been for his biological father stepping in at the last moment, the stepbrother, the stepfather, they would have received everything, but the actual biological father was able to remedy part of the issue by claiming Christopher Fox. So what this will do...
Let me just ask you how we found the biological stepfather. That by the stepfather knew of it in his life, or was that just a search?
Mr. Chairman, the biological father, Christopher Fox, after we had served in Iraq the first year, our first deployment, actually sought out and contacted his biological father.
Okay.
And they had been in communication briefly, and this is after Chris had joined the Army. So when news broke in Tennessee that Christopher Fox had been killed in action, his biological father found out through those means.
I see. Thank you.
But as Josh spoke to earlier, this will modify U.S. code so that a soldier, someone like Christopher Fox, can specify whomever they would like to be responsible with the disposition of their remains, so that this doesn't happen again.
Including Amy Frost.
Including Amy Frost.
Yeah, thank you. That concludes your testimony?
That concludes my statements, Mr. Chairman.
Do we have anyone online wanting to testify?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Rammers.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to note for the record, Nick's a Juno.
Yes, sir.
Been Juno for how long?
I've been through the chair.
Do this right,
Representative Ramirez, through the chair. I've been in Juno for 1 year this month.
Mr. Chair, I'd just like to point out that Nick has sought out our office and other offices here in this building, and he's very interested in contributing to Juno, the state of Alaska. We thank you on the record for your service. Sorry for the loss of your friend. We're inspired by your effort to initiate this piece of legislation. We thank you for the composure that you bring before this committee. I'm happy to be a co-sponsor. I turned in my co-sponsor slip. I think you'll find that other members likely will co-sponsor this, and we appreciate your ambition, and that already you have moved from televising or filming gavel to gavel to testifying here on a bill and doing it with great distinction on an important issue, and certainly not lost on me. And I'm just happy to read that into the record, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for having this bill before the committee and this fine young man to testify before your committee.
Okay. And I take it Amy Frost is aware of this activity?
To the chair, yes, sir. Amy Frost has been made very, very much an integral part of the congressional bill as well through Representative Cohen, and I've been in communication with her about the resolutions both in the House and on the Senate side.
Thank you. Any other testimony here? Any other public testimony? Yes, sir.
Can I testify?
Certainly can. Come forward and identify yourself.
Good job, Nick.
By the way, I have one of those shirts, too.
God bless you for that. I happen to be here just by happenstance. I'm actually waiting to. Anyway,
got to give us your name and some affiliation.
My name is David Rogers. I'm a father of a fallen soldier.
You're Donnie's husband.
I respect what this individual up here said in his service. As a parent, I see a way of, I think we might be opening a door for manipulation to young soldiers via girlfriends, well-meaning possibly. But I see a way that young soldiers are going through so much at a young age that I'm not really willing to throw the baby out with the bathwater. I think there may be a reason why the system is the way it is. This may be a I'm sorry, I'm not prepared at all because, but I'm trying to get this out. Parents have got to have, whether it's a broken home or not, the loss of a child. Now, my son and I, we had a wonderful relationship. It was, just like, it's indescribable. But I also know we deal with other parents that have lost children, and maybe the relationships ain't perfect. But believe me, you lose a child, it's hard. And I can't imagine the feeling of maybe somebody in the military, a buddy, a girlfriend, somebody else is like a teacher, having say in that child that soldier's life, and then finding out that parent now loses the rights of disposing of the body the way we were given that right. And it meant so much. Every word, everything that the military did mattered to us. And having that taken away from us would be so offensive, quite frankly. Broken homes, some of those soldiers go into the military as a result of tough love, and maybe the parents don't have a great relationship with that child. They're saying, hey, you need discipline, join the military, you'll come back a better man. And the kid may be hot-headed or whatever, but I'm just saying that, and I'm speaking mostly for soldiers like my son, who was 19 years old, that maybe, my son wasn't confused. He knew exactly what he was doing, so it wasn't really that issue. I do feel for those soldiers that may be confused in life. I was in the military myself, and yeah, there's plenty of guys that don't know what life is about yet. Bottom line, are we opening a door for manipulation by outsiders to those soldiers' benefits or not? And I think with the respect I have for you, Mr. Gatto, and others in this room, I know that you'll consider those. And I guess thank you for your time.
And I'm going to ask the bill sponsor. This adds a layer. It does not substitute for the layers previously accepted. This adds an alternative, not a substitution, correct?
An alternative to...
Like you can designate a friend, but it doesn't delete that you cannot rely on your parents, blood relatives, etc. Well, okay. Thanks, Mr. Rogers. I need Nicholas to come back up here and maybe follow up on that.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, again, Nicholas Henderson speaking to the congressional bill now, H.R. 1633. What this does is it modifies Section 10 of U.S. Code by actually, I handed a copy of that to the committee aide. And what it's actually... So what it does is going to add at the end. Let's see, it inserts before paragraph. Yeah, it's inserting a new paragraph into the section that specifies who you can or cannot identify before paragraph 2. And the new paragraph reads, the person identified by the decedent on the record of emergency data maintained by the secretary concerned as the person authorized to direct disposition regardless of the relationship of the designee to the decedent. So it doesn't remove any of the original portions about the surviving spouse, blood relatives, adoptive relatives, but it does create the option for a soldier who's in a circumstance where they don't have any of those to fall back on to be able to specify a parent figure essentially it says anybody that the decedent would specify, but that's, it doesn't say it in the legislation, but it's not getting rid of any of the other stuff. It's creating it so that someone without that can still go this route and specify someone.
So, you're ready. If I can ask you, does the soldier declare the individual that he wants to be the person he defines as in charge of his remains, and that there is none other except the one? This is just from a list of possible people that he can choose.
To the chair, the DD-93 actually has several sections as far as designating people on the form. Part of it is designating who the life insurance policy is paid out to, and you can divide that amongst however many people you so choose. And then as far as the disposition of the remains, I believe that's block 13 on the DD-93. That is the person who is responsible for handling your burial arrangements, as well as would receive the money that's associated with your burial arrangements.
Okay, and another question is receiving the money associated with the burial arrangements, but you mentioned $100,000. Is that money disposed of first to the mom and dad, then to the brothers and sisters, and then to the, well, I guess the wife, the spouse, the children, ultimately parents and brothers and sisters, or does it go to a designee that the deceased chose?
For the payment would be to the designee that the decedent so specified on his form before deploying. So however, when it comes to the life insurance benefits, it would go to whomever he specified, to the percent that he specified, the soldier specified through the chair. And the same applies to whomever he specified for disposition of his remains.
Thank you. Representative Lynn?
Thank you for bringing the bill forward. I do have some questions, though. First of all, if the soldier had specified somebody other than 1, 2, and 3 on the form he gave, somebody other than the surviving spouse, a blood relative or adoptive relative, could the parents appeal that decision? In other words, saying we should do that rather than person X? Did the parents or blood relatives have any right to appeal that decision?
Through the chair, Representative Lynn, yes. This is the case as to what happened with Specialist Fox. The form designated Amy Frost, and after Specialist Fox was KIA in Baghdad, the Army dispatched notification teams to not only Amy Frost's house, but in addition to that, they sent teams to the stepfather and stepbrother's homes as well to notify both parties. And in the ensuing, it was a few weeks, Amy Frost was informed that she wasn't eligible to be the person, the designee, and she then launched into appeals. The biological father, I do not have his name in my notes here. When he found out, he was able to step in as the biological father, and his role as the biological parent enabled him to assume responsibility over the decedent's remains. So yes, there is a process for which a biological parent can appeal a soldier's DD-93.
Okay. But I have a couple follow-ups there.
Yeah, but when that happened, Amy Frost was not an eligible recipient. So they went to the biological father. This bill would make Amy Frost eligible.
To the chair, yes, sir. This, Mr. Representative, that would make Amy Frost an eligible designee on the form.
And could she then appeal a decision to use the biological father and say the form named me, it's legal under the legislation passed in the Congress, and I could see an issue evolving over the biological father having a fight with the designee.
And to the chair, I'm not sure as to the Department of Defense's policy as to handling appeals in regards to a DD-93. Okay. I would not venture so far as to assume that there's a set level of priority to biological parents over designees.
Good. I'm going to have Josh come back to this stand here.
I have some more I have to get done.
Sure. Identify yourself for the recorder and we'll proceed.
Josh Temple, staff person for the Veterans Caucus.
Proceed.
I'm going to change just a little bit to parallel how military does this in another venue, which is the SGLI, which is the life insurance policy that was mentioned earlier, which is $400,000 right now.
How much?
$400,000.
It's a life insurance policy that is purchased or automatic?
It's a life insurance policy that is automatic, and you have to fill out a form if you do not want it. So you automatically get it. It costs a little over $20 a month, and it's for $400,000. It's highly subsidized by the federal government. It's a just good thing that the U.S. does for our military.
Okay.
So this the life insurance policy is $400,000, and this has run into problems in the past. But what was decided on it is that military members turn 18 and they're now adults. Occasionally this does get abused, and it's pretty awful when it does. Occasionally it goes to girlfriends and things that, well, goes girlfriends and people other than the family for reasons that are usually due to family circumstances that are extremely unfortunate. And now, so occasionally bad things happen with this, where there have been incidences where people have forgotten to change it around, and it's more been updating instances than it has been intentions of where it's going to go. For example, a military member designates their life insurance policy to go to their girlfriend, then they break up with their girlfriend, and then they end up dying without changing that around first. So it's more of an updating issue. I personally don't know of any instances where the life insurance money did not go to the person, the intended recipient, and where it wasn't a good thing that it went there. The reason that goes like that is because they're 18 years old, they are responsible for themselves and their lives, and they're young, however, there needs to be a point in their lives where they're responsible for themselves and their will. In life, not in military, you can request that your remains go to whomever you want, and you can request whoever you want takes care of your burial remains. And this bill more goes along the lines of that, or this resolution more goes along the lines of that. The pain parents feel when their children die is horrible. I don't have children. I don't know, I've lost a number of friends, very close, and it's a tough decision. It's a tough subject, But in the end, it comes down to, are we saying that this young man, young woman, is an adult and that they can make decisions? They can make a decision to join the military, or if they can go on, they still need someone to force their hand. Unfortunately, that's what it comes down to.
Thanks. Representative Lynn?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Just as an aside, you said $400,000 automatic insurance. That's amazing to me. When I joined the military, it was $10,000, you know, for $6 a month, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows inflation, I guess. They used to call that buying the farm, because the $10,000 mm-hmm. would pay off the family farm.
Mm-hmm.
I guess farms have gone up in value. To something more important, though, the $10,000, or $100,000 rather, did that go to the vendor or to the designee? In other words, does the funeral parlor bill the military and other people of that kind, or does it give it to this designee and then they spend it as they please?
Through the chair, this money is separate from the SGO. First, this money is separate from the SGO. You have the
I know.
I'm just going to break down the history of it, if you don't mind, Representative. This money, you have $400,000 from the life insurance policy right over here, then you have another $100,000. Initially, why that $100,000 up till a few years ago used to be between $10,000 and $15,000, and what it was initial payment that the military goes, all right, this member died, and the family does not need to deal with all the legal proceedings to get the SGLI money. They need some money now to work on funeral expenses and take care of things. So it used to be a little over $10,000, and with the wars that are going on right now, it was up under the Bush administration to $100,000, and that was a way of...
If I may, Mr. Chair, I meant does that go to the person... To
the estate?
To the estate for them to pay for funeral expenses, the funeral director, the hearse, and so on? Or does it go, or does the funeral director and other people like that bill the government to get part of that $100,000, so anything not spent?
Through the chair, this is a direct payment that goes directly to the person designated on the DD-93. It's checked, it's written out. It goes directly to the member that the service member, or the person that the service member wanted to dispose of his remains, and that full amount goes to them. They can do whatever they want with that amount. It was intended for the disposition of remains. However, it doesn't have to be fully spent on that. It can be used for whatever they need it for. And unfortunately, this is where some of the abuse comes, and where some, this is part of the incentive why some families have, some families that are no longer really families of the service members want to step in at this point once you involve these sums of money.
Right, Mr. Chair, that's very scary to me, because it, real potential for abuse there, and you know, parents are forever, girlfriends and friends come and go. And so it really bothers me, because if anything, it should be given specifically for funeral arrangement purposes. And I used to work at a funeral parlor, by the way, so I know how expensive this stuff is.
More questions?
No, but you understand my area of concern. A great potential for abuse. Somebody, you know, you go to war. You've been there. I've been there. Some other folks at this table have been there. You don't know if you're coming back or not. So, you know, there's a great potential for the girlfriends and just barely known people to get designated. How many people are they designated for? And a certain percentage of folks who go to war are not going to come back. So somebody's going to get $100,000 to spend as they please. I'm done right now.
Well, just let me ask you, Does anybody know how many times it goes to a girlfriend of short duration instead of mom and dad? Is this a common issue that people prey on GIs over this?
You're referring to the $100,000 term?
Well, both. Either one. Any place where there's a fixed amount of money. That $100,000 would be the opener, but there was the $400,000 too.
Mr. Chairman, let me start with the $100,000. Currently, the $100,000 goes to the parents, blood relatives, adoptive parents, as we're dealing with this resolution. It currently goes straight to them. They aren't allowed to give it to anyone else because that's what the law says. The $400,000, this money goes to whomever the service member wants it to go to, which, like any life insurance policy that anyone here would take out, say, I want my life insurance policy to go to this person, that person, the other person.
Right. Because you're paying for it.
Because you're paying for it. You're a man, you're a woman, and it's your policy. So there is, unfortunately, there is some abuse with that with every life insurance policy, as with every life insurance policy out there. It's minimized through, the military's gotten a lot better at minimizing it, especially with how many people have been dying in recent years.
Mm-hmm.
They're very careful about having it updated regularly now. Like I was saying earlier, the most of the time what happens or where there are mistakes that happen with this is when it isn't updated. Most people are very careful with their $400,000 when it comes down to it, for good reason. The $100,000, it with changing this around so that whoever can be designated, unfortunately, it can be subject to abuse, as you were saying, Representative Lynn. And that's something that would have to be taken up to at the congressional level. It's not what this resolution does. On designating how that money is spent. Currently, $100,000 is to make people's life easier, mm-hmm. really, at this time. So maybe they can take some time off from work if they need to, as they're trying to grieve for their family. It's so that they can take care of funeral expenses. It's to do what they need to do. And right now, as if this was changed on the designee, there's potential of abuse on both sides, whether it be from parents who have abandoned their children and come back again when they hear about some money, as I'm sure all of you heard stories about, wills and otherwise, to from the other angle of girlfriends trying to get on life insurance policies and things like that. But said, what it comes down to is that these are men, these are women. We're calling them such when we ask them to be part of the military.
And we may think they're making a mistake, and it's not our position to decide that they've made a mistake in how they've allocated the money, and I don't think any of us want to go there. You send them overseas, you put guns in their hands and armor on their body and a direction, that's enough. Make them a man.
Agreed, Mr. Chairman.
Used to be, Mr. Chair, that the first sergeant counseled folks. They probably don't do that anymore.
Through the chair, there is still counseling. If something comes up odd on life insurance policies, most units are good, are very, watch their privates, watch their non-NCOs and people like that very closely.
I know, Mr. Chair, when I got my insurance in the military, the first sergeant was right there made sure I filled it out correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay. Any other testimony? With that,
I'd actually like to say another
thing. Sure, come forward. With the help of the recorder, you have to introduce yourself again.
And for the record, again, Nicholas Henderson, through the chair, Representative Lynn, on the subject of counseling, my last year in the Army I spent as a team leader. I had direct supervision over 4 privates fresh out of basic training, and I oversaw counseling in regards to all their paperwork and their training, in addition to weekly weekend briefings as far as safety over the weekends. The counseling process has certainly become a very large one in some infantry units. I can't speak for other organizations. And beyond that, my squad leader also did squad level counseling, and it cascaded upwards from there to include company level counseling from the first sergeant. And then, just briefly, Mr. Chairman, if I could, I wanted to speak to the potential for abuse of this system. It took the Department of the Army. They have what they have are called casualty assistance officers. They're serving here in the United States, and their sole duty is to perform one of the hardest tasks a soldier has to do, and that is inform the loved ones that their soldier's fallen. And the casualty assistance office, it only took them a matter of days to figure out that Amy Frost was ineligible to be on that form. And it only took them in that time, you know, those few days, they found a stepbrother and a stepfather that weren't on any of Christopher Fox's paperwork. There seems to be a system in place within that department that enables them to find flaws in the forms, in addition to being able to track down relatives. I say this just speaking to the possibility of abuse. I'm not going to say that there isn't any abuse. There certainly, I mean, as Josh said earlier, most life insurance policies, you find someone's giving money, or not most, but it's a possibility. The Army is watching carefully. This is creating another alternative for soldiers that have unique circumstances.
Okay. It's pretty helpful to bring us up to date on what happens in our armed services besides what we read in the newspaper about certain battles and certain deaths and certain visits. So I appreciate your testimony, Nicholas. And, you too, Josh. Is there any other comments that some member of the committee wants to make? Okay. Hearing and seeing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, with the great reservation, I move CS for House Joint Resolution 3126-LS0835/R with individual recommendations, and I guess it's a zero fiscal note.
Here to be zero. Is there an objection? Hearing and seeing none, then HJR 31 moves from committee, and that leads us to adjournment. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Good test.